From CAP Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm Beth Ruyak. June 29th, 2020 could become a dramatic historic day in Sacramento with an event beginning in less than 30 minutes. Joseph D'Angelo, the man identified through DNA as the East Area Rapist and the Golden State Killer, is expected to enter a plea of guilty to dozens of charges related to crimes from decades ago. His hearing has been moved to, of all places, the ballroom in the Union of the Sac State campus. CAP Radio reporter Scott Rod joins us live from there. Hi, Scott.
Good morning, Beth.
So set some of the scene that's happening around you.
So Sac State's ballroom is pretty large, and that is to accommodate, you know, dozens and dozens of media, spectators, and obviously prosecutors as well. And so there's this large ballroom with seats spaced out, you know, roughly 6 feet from each other. And then you have the desks up front where the defense and prosecution will be at. And then you have two large projector screens that will be showing the judge, the prosecutor, and the defense so people can see what exactly is about to unfold.
Why don't you outline a brief history that brought us to this day? But I'm more interested, as many people probably are, in what the victims will be able to do or say today. Are they able to participate?
You know, that's unclear at this point. My understanding is that typically victim participation, where they will provide statements, impact statements, typically comes at sentencing. And my understanding is that this is an entry of a guilty plea. So sentencing, I believe, will be coming a couple months down the road. So it's unclear what sort of participation there may be. Now, this hearing is scheduled to last hours. So they're going to be filling it with, it'll be filled with something, but I don't know if victims will be speaking. As far as, you know, how we got to this point, as you mentioned, Joseph D'Angelo had committed, allegedly committed dozens of rapes and murders throughout California in the 1970s and 80s, abruptly stopped, and there was a sort of cold case investigation that was, you know, on and off for a number of years. Just in 2018, after some extensive and sort of crafty DNA work, he was arrested from his Citrus Heights home. And since April 2018, the case has been plodding along, looking like it was going to head to a lengthy and expensive trial. And then just recently they announced that it looks like there's going to be a guilty plea entered. So that's what brought us to this moment here.
I think that sentence by the Sacramento County DA, Anne Marie Schubert, made news around the world when she said, "We found the needle in the haystack, and it was right here in Sacramento." Tell me about the people sitting around you. I understand, because of the COVID situation, that besides social distancing, there was going to be a temperature screening at the door, and of course, everybody's wearing face coverings.
Yeah, I mean, so that's the thing. This is a remarkable moment, but COVID is still here. So it's a remarkable moment in the time of COVID. So that means, yes, getting temperature checks, making sure that everyone is wearing masks, you know, ensuring social distancing. So this is a kind of highly choreographed event. Usually these kinds of things are, but this is an exceptional moment, you know, both in terms of moving it to this very large location and making sure that people are trying to stay safe. So it's a remarkable moment, you know, under the sort of cast of COVID.
Six different counties are involved in the charges. The district attorneys will present cases from these various areas today. And then how is the rest of this going to unfold? What do you know about today? And then if this guilty plea happens, what's next for Joseph D'Angelo?
So my understanding is the deal that was struck is that that he will be pleading guilty to not only the pending 13 murder and 13 rape cases in Sacramento County Court, but he's also expected to plead guilty to dozens of others, potentially over 60 other cases. And so that will essentially, the deal that was struck was that he will not face the death penalty, but clearly for a guilty plea of crimes of that magnitude, he's looking at life in jail many times over. He's elderly, he's older. So that is part of what reportedly motivated this deal, was to say he's older instead of going on with this lengthy trial and, you know, searching or going for the death penalty. It would be better to try to get a guilty plea for not only these cases that are pending, but many others that he's suspected of committing.
All right, Scott, we'll let you go. I know you've got to get back into the room. We'll watch for your reporting throughout the day. Thanks so much.
Yes, thank you, Beth.
Joseph D'Angelo's hearing, again, is set to begin at 9:30. There is a press conference scheduled at 3 p.m. today. You can follow Scott Rodd's reporting throughout the day. Tomorrow on Insight, I'll speak with some of the victims who are attending today's hearing, and I'll talk with one of the lead investigators as well. Here's another national story. As the week starts out, California is toggling back, to use a phrase from Governor Gavin Newsom. Yesterday afternoon, he tweeted, due to the rising spread of COVID-19, California is ordering bars to close in Fresno, Imperial, Kern, Kings, Los Angeles, San Joaquin, and Tulare counties. He then recommended that bars close in 8 more counties, Contra Costa, Riverside, Sacramento, San Bernardino, Santa Barbara, Santa Clara, Stanislaus, and Ventura. The mayor of Stockton, Mayor Michael Tubbs, is in San Joaquin County. He is joining us by phone right now. Mayor Tubbs, I know this is a really busy day for you. Thanks for making time for us.
Oh, anytime. Thank you for having me.
Do you think that the closure of bars is the start of a bigger shutdown?
Well, I've been adamant since the beginning that as we begin to open up the economy, we want it to stay open, and the only way to stay open is to adjust to a new normal, which includes mask wearing, social distancing, and washing hands. So I would imagine if the numbers continue to spike, if our hospitals continue to be on the verge of surge, if we continue to see the numbers increase, then I'm sure the governor will have to take action to kind of get us back to where we were 3 months ago. But it's an avoidable fate, but it's avoidable with the actions we take. And again, that's why I've been so adamant about we have to wear masks around in public, that we should still leave home when it's absolutely essential, that we should be washing our hands, engage in social distancing. Because again, this virus does not care about our feelings, it doesn't care about our 4th of July plans, it doesn't care about where we watch news, it doesn't care what the president thinks, it cares if we adhere to what science tells us, which is again, to wear masks, wash our faces, and social distance. So I'm hopeful that this is a wake-up call to everyone to realize that the same energy we used in March and April, the same energy we have to use until there is a vaccine for this virus. So I'm hoping it's a wake-up call for everyone to do their part, because we can do this together.
Something changed, though, because the data is showing that about half of all of San Joaquin County's coronavirus cases have happened in the past 2 weeks. In the past 2 weeks, what do you think has gone on?
In the past 2 weeks, I think we've seen sort of, and we were able to get variants from the governor and open our economy, but open it without putting the safeguards in place to still mitigate the spread of the virus. So it was foolhardy to open up the economy, as I said, from the jump without any mask ordinance, because that just allows the virus to spread more quickly. So luckily, we have the science. The governor did the statewide mask mandate, so I think that will go a long way. I think ensuring that our small businesses have masks for all their employees and ensuring people that this is about public health. So we don't want to have to call the cops, and we don't want to have to use the civil code. We don't want to have to fine. We don't want to do any of these things. We want people to stay healthy and safe and be able to breathe. But to do that is going to require, again, an adjustment. So I think that's part of it. And people just weren't taking it seriously enough. I know I was out a couple weeks ago, and I saw just a scene that from like 2019 that didn't reflect an understanding that in 2020 there's things we have to do differently. Again, not because it's fun, but because it's necessary. So I'm hopeful that with the adjustments, I know our county is now developing a public health campaign to kind of message to people. So I'm hoping with all those things, we'll be able to flatten the curve again and not continue to have to go back.
And I'm not singling out San Joaquin by any means, because you look nearby at Stanislaus County, and about 40% of their total cases happened in the past 2 weeks as well. So this increase has been happening in California, in Arizona, in Texas, other states as well. So we are going to hear from the governor at noon today. We'll get more of an update on what's happening in the state. Meanwhile, Mayor Tubbs, you appeared on both the Today Show and Good Morning America this morning. You're making the announcement of a broader effort of a plan that has been ongoing in Stockton for 18 months. This is the guaranteed income plan. rather than give me the background context, as nine cities, I guess, join Stockton to make 10 cities overall, what results are you and the other mayors hoping for in giving monthly amounts of money to a select number of people in the cities?
Well, as mayors, we understand that economic insecurity isn't a new issue, and COVID-19 has further exacerbated that issue. But we also understand that with the George Floyd uprisings, those just aren't about police violence. They're about the violence of poverty. They're about structural violence, et cetera. So we're hoping that through piloting and showing that no matter where people live, whether it's Stockton or Jackson or St. Paul or L.A., people are people. And people are going to spend money in a way that aligns with how you and I would spend money in terms of meeting basic necessities, buying things that are necessary for the family. In doing so, we hope we'll kind of push our colleagues at the federal level to enact legislation, at least during COVID-19 time, to ensure that all of our constituents have an income floor to stand on as we're toggling between opening up the economy, closing the economy, people are struggling, eviction moratoriums are going to expire soon, et cetera. So we're hoping that our bold action will get our federal partners to take bold action as well and do what we have to do to ensure the health and security and safety of our residents.
I know that in Stockton over the last 18 months, I believe the number is 125 people have been receiving $500 a month. But you've got mayors and other city leaders involved in cities from St. Paul, Minnesota to Atlanta, Georgia. There are other California cities, Compton, Los Angeles, Oakland, even Tacoma, Washington. So will the program operate a little differently in each place?
Yeah, absolutely. Every mayor and community will have sort of the agency to design what a pilot looks like for their city. And the point of us coming together was to show that even despite our differences in terms of our cities and populations, the demographics, et cetera, we're united about this idea that we have to solve for economic insecurity and that a guaranteed income, guaranteed cash payments to people is a powerful tool to do that. So I'm looking forward to working with my fellow mayors as they design their pilots and implement because it was something that we know is necessary. And again, the George Floyd uprisings and COVID-19 has just made what was always known to be necessary front and center. And now I just think it's us having the courage to kind of push our partners at the federal government to support us in doing this.
What's the preliminary result of Stockton's pilot with this?
So the preliminary results from the past 18 months is that, A, the majority of people spend money on things like food. And on utilities and on bills and expenses. Preliminary findings also suggest that something as small as $500 a month is enough, not just for kind of the economic benefits, but health benefits. People have reported feeling less anxious, less stressed, less visits to the doctor due to illnesses exacerbated by stress and anxiety, et cetera. And I'm also looking forward to it next year when the full report is out that looks at sort of the treatment group or the folks receiving the money, the control group, differences or the success, and also understanding that this is not going to solve every issue, but it does solve the very pressing issue of economic insecurity. And last thing on that, we found during COVID time that spending on food actually increased to almost half of the $500, and that folks were using the $500 to actually prepare, bunker down into shelter in place, which shows that the income floor is an important tool during pandemics to build economic resilience.
All right, Mayor Chubbs, one more quick thing I want to mention, and that is the HBO documentary that will tell the story of your life. It's titled Stockton on My Mind, and when can everybody see it?
It'll be out July 28th at 9 p.m. on HBO, and luckily, it doesn't just tell the story of my life. I made sure that it told the story of Stockton and used me as a character, but also highlights some of the amazing people I get to work with and some of the things we're doing in Stockton, not because we're perfect, but because we realize we're not perfect, but we'll continue to fight and strive to become a more perfect and more just community. So I'm really excited about it because it really shows Stockton the way I see Stockton, as a resilient city, a city on the rise, a city full of amazing people, and a city that is serious about making liberty and justice for all real for everybody who lives there.
Mayor Tubbs, it's been a pleasure working with you. Thank you for this one last Mayor's Chat.
I'm going to miss you. It's been my morning therapy. So thank you, thank you, thank you.
I have loved, people don't know that sometimes I will text you or your staff late at night or early in the morning, very last minute, and you're always right there. And I think it's so important that people hear from you. So good luck to you and your family and that darling little baby of yours.
Thank you, and you too.
That is Stockton's Mayor Michael Tubbs. We have been told, by the way, that there's going to be a COVID response update from Sacramento County. That's later this morning. Dr. Peter Bielenson will join us tomorrow on Insight. And again, that statewide press briefing by Governor Newsom can be heard today live on CAP Radio. Up next, Ken Rudin, the political junkie, joining me for one last conversation before I leave the Insight host chair later this week. You're listening to Insight on CAP Radio.